Thank you, Tim, for the introduction. Wendy and I have worked with Campus Outreach for a number of years, and we've been blessed in our own lives by how God's worked through that, and I've asked Wendy if she would share some about that in just a minute. But when John called us and asked us to share, we were like, well, we'd love to. That'd be awesome. But we thought, what part of our life should we share about, you know? We could talk about the ministry. We could talk about coming to Christ in college, getting married. We could talk about our call to ministry and how God worked in our lives in that. We could talk about moving to various cities in other states and countries and pioneering new ministry. We could talk about our battle with infertility over the years, or how God led us to adoption. We could talk about raising children in a crazy generation. We could talk about living with adult children and aging parents that many of us can relate to as well. So any of those topics would have been great. But in a very John-like way, he didn't specify what he wanted us to share. He just said, would you guys share some of your story and some of the lessons you've learned through that? And we're like, okay, where do we start? How do we pare that down? So we really, as we prayed about it, we felt like that God had laid on our heart to share with you guys today some of our journey over the last 10 or 15 years in being parents and raising our children, our adopted family, and the impact that's had in our own lives and the lessons that we've learned through that. And as we share this, you know, maybe your personal story doesn't connect directly to our circumstances. Maybe, you know, maybe you don't have four adoptive children. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't haven't had children who have run astray. Maybe you have. Maybe you have other things that God has been challenging you on. And I really feel like there's a theme of two things that God revealed through this whole story we're about to share. And I'm going to tell you up front. So if you fall asleep or just decide to check out, you can at least remember there's two things that's been a challenge for us. And the first is this, is that our circumstances oftentimes led us to fear. We were afraid. We were afraid of losing our dreams. Yeah. We were afraid of a future that was vastly different than anything that we could imagine. We were afraid of all kinds of things, as you'll hear in our story. But unfortunately, although we had been walking with Christ for some time, the thing that God continued to show us is that we turn to control and trying to shape the outcome, as though we were responsible for the future. And so let me back up and allow Wendy a moment to share with you a little of our story, to give you some backstory, even about how Christ intervened in our lives.
So, good to see all of y'all this morning. So, the Lord providentially allowed Russell and I both to grow up where seeds of the gospel had been planted in our lives the whole time of our growing up. But it wasn't until we both arrived at West Georgia College back in 1985 as freshmen, the same year that Campus Outreach Birmingham expanded across state lines to Georgia. And so Campus Outreach was there the first year we were there, and just through the way they do ministry and love people well, both of us became involved in the ministry. Even though I had heard the gospel, I believe, many times, it wasn't until the winter of my freshman year that I really heard and understood the gospel and surrendered my life to Jesus to be my Lord, and that I wasn't Lord anymore in my life. And Russell's, a few months after that, at the Christmas conference the following year, as Reverend Barker was teaching and sharing his stories with the hundreds of students that were there that Russell realized that as well. He, Reverend Barker was talking about believing and that the demons in hell believe, but so there has to be a difference in the belief that Russell was experiencing and the belief that Reverend Barker was talking about, and he surrendered his life. And so we went on our journey in college. We didn't even know each other at the time. Fine. So we went on Beach Project a couple years and worked together, and our friendship grew, and the Lord laid on his heart that I was the one for him and mine too, and we married right after college, and we just felt a huge call to ministry, and we moved to Augusta, Georgia, both working full-time secular jobs, but with the idea in mind to help Campus Outreach expand to the colleges there in Augusta. And so we did that for a year and then moved to Arkansas for a three-year stint, worked with another ministry who had called us to work with them, Student Mobilization. Through a series of the Lord working, Kent Bailey called Russell in like 1995 and said, will you come back to Birmingham and be my assistant and let's see where in the world God would take us. And so we did that. And during our time in Arkansas, we began our journey with infertility. And it was a hard seven-year journey for us. And, of course, as Russell shared, there's lots of lessons we learned and stories we could tell about that. But we're going to fast forward to 97 when the Lord brought our first son to us through Lifeline Ministry here in Birmingham. Then a year, we moved to Brazil when Luke was 7 months old. And then shortly after that, his full brother, Levi, who, by the way, his birthday is today, he's 24, brought him to us. And so the journey continues. I'll let Russell jump in.
Thank you.
What's encouraging or amazing in that whole story is that when we were going through the process of infertility, when we moved here to Birmingham, back to Birmingham in 94, actually, we were looking for a community to be a part of, and we really struggled because we went to all the young married classes, and the one that was for our age group at the time it felt like every single person in there was either pregnant or just had a baby. I mean, we were in the childbearing years, that was the norm, right? And so they had a thing every Sunday that they did to kick off the class. It was called the Expansion Report. And in the Expansion Report, we talked about, who just found out they were pregnant, or how did the doctors, or the sonogram, or the, you know, and then so it was just like every day being reminded of something we longed for and didn't have. And so, we were really struggling with that. And it was Mrs. Barker, and Frank that suggested that we come to the discovery class. So it was actually there in about 95 that we, first came to the discovery class, and it was people in here and the Barkers that really were influential in the process of us even choosing adoption and seeing that as how God was leading for our family. So I was just making that connection to the class and how that really was an incredible impact in our lives. So as we, during the following years after we moved back to Birmingham from Arkansas, we went out of order, so I was trying to catch back up. That's okay. Wendy jumped ahead on me, so I was just trying to catch back up where she got to. Sorry. So it was actually, so the time that we were in Brazil with our children and they were growing up was full of adventure and excitement, as you might imagine. God taught us many things and we had many exciting opportunities. And it really wasn't until 2010, when the Lord called us back to Birmingham from Brazil, that we began to experience more intense challenges and crisis with the children. During this time, we really had always wondered, we always wanted a family that kind of reflected our dream of a family. I came from a family, a large family. I'm the youngest of five children. And one of our great family values is time together. And my family, not only did they not want to spend time together, but they continually told each other they hated each other. And the very things that we were trying to promote and teach and help weren't the things we were experiencing. And Wendy and I began to be brokenhearted because we had always believed, you know, the good psalm, if we train them up in the way they should go, they're not going to depart from it. But it seemed like at each turn they were departing from it. And we began to feel like failures as parents, and like we must be the only people who have screwed up their families and somehow have caused their children to be in this situation. So during this time, we were praying, we were seeking counsel, we met with pastors, we met with others, and we're really trying to help our kids find their place, find their footing, find a place that they felt safe and comfortable. But instead of that, nothing that we did seemed to turn the tide in their life. We continued to see discipline issues at school. I can't tell you the number of times I was at work and my phone would ring and it's the principal. And as soon as I would see it pop up, I knew another crisis to be addressed. Academic failures. We faced issues of drug use and addiction. We even experienced legal issues with the kids. Car crashes. Three total cars, to be exact. Social chaos, and which led to family chaos. I mean, despite everything that we were trying to do in our strength and with God's help, we felt like it just fell on deaf ears. We felt like we just fell short again and again and again. And Wendy and I really felt like we were in a period where we were just trying to keep the plate spinning. You ever seen that in a circus where the clown, he puts the plates up there and then he has to go back over and get the other one going before he can do the next one. He's going back over here and get them. He keeps them all going. He's doing more and more until ultimately the plates all fall and crash. Well, that's what we felt. We were just trying to keep the plates going, and it consumed more and more of our life and in that. So we continue to believe as parents that it was our responsibility, believing that if our children failed, it would somehow irreparably damage their life, and they would their lives would be ruined. And so we continued to try to help. But little did we understand that no matter how much we tried to help, things seemed to get worse. And we couldn't see that our efforts were actually enabling our children to continue in the very things that they were doing. And so for the first time, we began to realize, okay, this is not so much about our children, perhaps, as it might be about us as well. You might imagine at this point, Wendy and I, our hearts were torn to shreds. I personally felt a real temptation to withdraw emotionally. I was tempted. I was like, well, this is ruined. This is over. You know, what hope do we have? I'll just focus on work and other things. And I can't take that anymore. So it had ceased being just an issue with the kids and even began to affect our marriage. Wendy and I, God made us different. I don't know if y'all experienced that in your marriages. Wendy is the peacemaker in our family. And for her, the value is peace at all costs, right? And so you might imagine when chaos is going on, she doesn't want to deal with it or change it or address it, but let's just try and settle it. Let's just get by it, and then it'll be okay. And for me, I'm more wired as the truth teller. And so I want to go in guns blazing. Hey, let's get this out on the table. Let's be clear. Let's try and get this settled. And so the difference even between how we approached the challenge and the conflict began to be a wedge in our own marriage and in our relationship. And so that was a scary time as well. But it was about spring of 2016 that Wendy was feeling this kind of the same as I was. We were feeling somewhat hopeless and challenged. Things seemed to be escalating and only getting worse. And Wendy, here in Sunday school one day, decides to kind of for the first time to be public about our struggles. Now, I don't know what you guys know about the person who's having challenges. Oftentimes they feel like nobody else knows. But I'm pretty sure everybody in the world knew we were struggling. But we had probably worked very hard to try and manage it ourselves and put our best foot forward outside. And the reality is inside we were broken and torn up. And so Wendy shared a very, opaque prayer request, just saying, hey, we'd like prayer for some of the challenges we're facing in raising our children. I think that's about as clear as her prayer request. And as God would have it, Bruce was in our Sunday school class and was the speaker that day. And
the ultimate truth teller. Y'all know Bruce. He thought she was straight.
But Bruce gets up being sensitive to the Spirit in this situation, and Bruce says to this class, he says, I don't know if you guys just heard what happened, but that was a plea for help. And I challenge you guys to engage. And so Wendy and I would love to share that actually a number of you did come that very day and come alongside us and begin to open your hearts and your challenges and your struggles and even your desires to see God glorified in your own families. And for the very first time in a long time, we felt like we weren't alone. It was incredible to experience that. But even though we now began to have some fellowship in that and some encouragement, I think one of the things that we experienced was, I wrote here, this was followed by too many crises and disappointments to share. I don't want to spend all of our time talking about the challenges. I feel like I've given you a context. But faced with the clear brokenness and depravity of our children and ourselves, we live captive to the belief and shame of being failures. That was what we continued to find ourselves in. And I just want to say, if you've ever been there, that is not a fun place. That is not a fun place to be. But by God's grace, He continued to use others who had suffered similar things, who had walked through similar things that we were walking through in their families, to help us begin to see things that He had been trying to help us see for a long time, things He had been trying to reveal to us, things He had been trying to open for us, truths of His Word. There were lies that we were believing that were preventing us from experiencing the peace, the grace, the love that He wanted for us. And so we compiled kind of a list of a few of those lessons that He was teaching us through this. And so as we talk about these, maybe some of these are ones you can experience that you can relate to and that maybe you have experienced in your lives. So the first one was just we began to see that the most important thing that Wendy and I could do for our children was to focus on our spiritual health and welfare. That we had spent the last almost 10 years in an increasing way focused on what we felt like was the problem. And it was something outside of us. And I don't know if you realize this, but you don't have control of anything outside of you, right? The only thing you have a choice about is inside, is yourself. And so I think the thing that really stood out to me was a simple truth that I had learned early in my walk with God from Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, specifically 33, says, "But seek first His kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." If you just think about the reality that we were focused on the problem instead of the author of all life. And so we were trying to wrestle and make it better or shape the outcome. And the reality, the last part of that passage there in Matthew 6 says, "Which of you, by struggling and being anxious, can add a single," is it a single minute to, or a single day to your life? And so I just am struck by that. It's something I've heard for years, but in a new way, God was helping me see, hey, we're not the answer. He is. And we've got to focus on Him first, and then all these other things will come to bear. You can't give away what you don't have. We couldn't impart to our children peace because we were living in ever chaos. We couldn't help them find their joy and hope in Christ because we were broken and couldn't find our hope and joy in Christ. And so just being reminded, we're not in control. The next one was we realized a very hard truth. We're not the answer to our children's problems. God is, and that's related to the first one. It was our desire to help that had been continuing to enable our children not to face reality. We were inadvertently putting ourselves between God and the way that He was trying to lead and engage with our children, which is the very last thing that I wanted to do, but began to see that was the very thing that we were doing by trying to meddle. I actually put myself in an adversarial position with the Lord and His plans. I was reminded of a verse, John 10:10, that Peggy actually shared last week, talking about the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." You know, as we began to realize God was writing His story in the lives of our children, and that it looks different from what we would have written, perhaps. But He's writing their story. And that gives us hope. Our hope is in Him and what He's doing, not in us and what we can do or how we can, what we have to bring to the situation. Because I'll be frank, we didn't have anything to bring to the situation but more problems. And so it was incredible for us to begin to realize that it's not our circumstances that bring peace. I can't remember how many times I cornered Dan and asked him this question. I said, "Dan, I know that our hope's in Jesus, and that He's where peace comes from. But dang it, every time I feel like I get there, one of the kids do something or choose something, and the destruction and the consequences pour into my life, and I'm broken all over again." And so I just remember having those conversations and us praying and talking about that, and just realizing that peace doesn't come from circumstances, even better circumstances. Peace comes from God. And that is a hope. In John 10:10, when he was talking about that, when Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly," it's in stark contrast to what the enemy desires. He wants to steal our hope. He wants to kill your peace. He doesn't want you to have that. And so he literally has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But as we can find our hope in Jesus, therein we find life. And even today, some of our children continue to make destructive and poor choices. But the great thing is our peace is not in their choices. Our peace is in Christ. And that's a huge difference. When do you want to do the next one? You can't pick those.
That was your verse.
Yeah, but you can share your verse.
Okay.
I have my verse.
I got my own. So, the verse that God has laid on my heart and has been impacting me every day for the past several years is in 2 Timothy 2, the latter part of 25 and 26. And it says, "If perhaps God..." Those first three words. I could just hinge it all on that. If perhaps God, who's sovereign, who's in control, who can bring the repentance? God can. Okay, if perhaps God would grant repentance, leading to the knowledge of truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. I mean, that verse just screams at me that I can't do anything. We've done it. We pray for them. We've taught them. We've raised them around other believers. We've given them all we can give them, but we can't wordsmith the gospel or the truths good enough. He's a great wordsmither. He's always bringing the truth. But he could not say it good enough or well enough or clear enough that they would get it more times than not. And it was because God's the one who is granting the scales to fall away from their eyes. And praise Jesus, he has, for one of our sons, clear as day. The transformation is night and day, seeking after Jesus, pursuing him. And we believe he's working in the other three as well, slowly coming along. So that was, and one other thing, can I share one other little thing real quick? So I'm being mentored by one of our dear members who's 92, wise as ever, and she gave me this little acronym of WAIT, W-A-I-T. And she says, "Wendy, what am I thinking?" And I will tell you all, for months and maybe years, I would wake up in the middle of the night and my mind would just start running with, where are the kids? They're not home yet. Yeah, or where is so-and-so? He's not home yet. What are they doing? What could be happening? I mean, my mind would just run in 1,000 directions and I would get so amped up. I'd lay there, just enemy just feeding me lies. And maybe it was true going on based on circumstances, but she encouraged me, you have got to take control of your mind. You have got to allow the Word of God to transform your mind. And thankfully, through Campus Outreach, as a young believer, I began memorizing Scripture. And I would just, after a long time of not getting a lot of sleep because I'd lay there and let the enemy speak to me, I began just quoting Scripture to myself, just laying there, just run through my head, just forcing my mind, choosing to think about the words and move from one verse to the next, to the next, to the next. And finally, I would be able to relax and go back to sleep. But it was through that transforming my mind through God's Word, just resting on it, just thinking about it, choosing to think about that and not about where my kids were and what they were doing, it brought me peace. That's where I experienced the peace. And so, anyway, I just want to share that. 2 Timothy 2, 25b and 26.
Yeah, that's great. You can use it. The last two things I really feel like God's been showing us through what we've been walking through has been that God wants us to walk with Him in community. And, you know, I think the last thing we want to do when we're suffering is to open our mouths and talk about it or to share it with others. But God blessed us and allowed us to begin to share our mess. And we owned it, you know, it was our mess. We experienced from the body of Christ, even those of you in here, we experienced love and experienced you sharing from your own lives in a humbleness and a reality of how you've experienced similar things in your own lives. And I just wanted to encourage each of us that bringing things into the light, it removes the power that they hold over you. I mentioned to you at the beginning that one of the biggest sins, if you will, in all of this for me personally, was the sin of fear, of being afraid of not measuring up, being a failure, of the loss of a future that was different than I had dreamed, all kinds of those fears. And it's that fear that the enemy uses as power over you when you hold these things back. And so being able to share those things, bring them to light, it removes the power. And it really reminded me of 1 John 1:19, where it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so really as we walk in community and as we pray and confess those things to God, we see God meeting us in the midst of that. The gospel is the only thing that can deal with my guilt and can deal with my shame. It's the only thing powerful enough to meet me in that. And so I was just thinking this morning, I was like, just in case anybody wasn't sure, but guilt and shame are not fruits of the Spirit. Okay? Some of us grow accustomed to them being around so much that we think they must be, but they're not. Guilt and shame is not a fruit of the Spirit. But love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, these are the fruit of the Spirit. And those are the things that God longed for me to be experiencing. But my sin and my fear and my lack of being able to open my hands and turn those things over to Him is what kept me from that. And so I really feel like one of the things that helped me finally turn it over was this last thing. And Wendy and I began to participate in a group called Al-Anon. It's a group. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous, but for family and friends of alcoholics and people who struggle with addiction. And for us, that group served as such encouragement and help as well. And one of the slogans they talk about in there is that we have to take it just one day at a time. If you live in fear, you're always worried about the future. And it's so hard to live today. And so this is kind of the breakdown for me. I can't change the past, right? That's where all my shame and guilt came from. I can't change the past. I can't change what happened. I can only take it to Jesus and find His healing, cleansing care. I cannot control the future. There is one God, and I ain't Him, as the saying goes. I can't control the future. I can't shape the outcome. I don't care how many conversations I had with my children, how clearly we talked through all that was going on, the principles, what we were living for, it didn't change the outcome. It's not that I shouldn't do those things, but I'm not trusting in my ability. I can't control the future, but I can choose how I'll live today. And so really bringing it back to the choices that we have, the most powerful thing you're given is, what are you going to do today? How are you going to live today? You can't change the past. You can't control the future. But how are you going to live today? And Psalm 118 is a psalm I've been reflecting over some over the past couple of weeks. And one of the verses in there, it says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." You know, you probably learned that song as a child if you grew up in church. I know I did. But the truths of that are so powerful that God made today. And as we walk in that, are we going to trust Him to be the Lord of His story? His story, right? Am I going to allow Him to write His story, or am I going to try and write my own? And so the results of these things in our lives really began to be transformed hearts. Our hearts were transformed. The hearts of our children, as our lives changed, our children's lives began to change. Wendy shared some practical examples of some of that transformation. But for the joy of seeing just the change in our own heart has been phenomenal. But also, as we've begun to learn these things, He's transformed our relationships. Our marriage is fundamentally different than it was just a few years ago. And we've been married 32 years. And so for us to realize that that in the midst of these things, not only is He transforming our relationship, but He began to transform our relationship with our children. As our children began to see changes in us, God used that to initiate changes in their own hearts, to bring up questions that we had been saying for years. But for whatever reason, they couldn't hear us. But when they saw it in our life, they began to ask the questions. That's a whole other story. We saw changes in our relationship with others. It allowed us to relate with others, not out of fear or worry of what might happen, but we knew that God's in control and we can walk in that with Him, trusting Him wherever He leads that. And the freedom in that transforms our relationship. So just in closing today, I just put a question to you. Are there heavy burdens that you may be carrying? Are there things that have been on your heart that seem impossible to carry, that feel like they're crushing you? You had shared about asking us to pray. Where'd you go? Cynthia? Okay, she's already gone for choir. So Cynthia asked us to pray. Just express that sentiment. Things too heavy to sustain. We just can't do it. I can so relate to that. We were so broken and in such desperate need of the Lord on a moment-by-moment basis. Are there things in your life that you're carrying? Are there things that you're convinced you're the only one? You're not. That's the enemy's ploy for you to keep it secret. You're not the only one. And He longs to meet you in the midst of that. And so I just encourage you, allow God to set you free. Allow your brothers and sisters to walk with you. That was one of the greatest blessings, that God helped the Word of God come alive as we shared it and walked in it with many of you. Allow God to be your hope. Not what you can do, but what God is doing. I promise if you put your hope in God, you won't be disappointed. So thank you for letting us share a little bit of our story.
And just from you all ministering us and opening your lives to us, we're totally available to meet with anybody just to share even more. There's so much more that we could share. Or to walk alongside you to hear how God is working in your life. We definitely are open to walk in with you all as you all have freely and so graciously walked with us. So thank you.